It seems a very strange thing that Genesis chapter 24, the longest chapter in the book of Genesis, tells the story of how a man got his wife. I find that very interesting. Now, I don't know how hard it was for you to get your particular wife. I had to do a bit of running myself, you know, a few meters and a few nice things had to be done, but at the end, it worked out well. Only 31 verses are devoted to the creation account, but 67 verses were needed to relate how Rebekah became Isaac's wife. It certainly tells a wonderful story, but the chapter goes beyond the historical setting itself, and it brings before us a theological account or story. And that's what we want to try to get at tonight. Each person in the story is significant, and it gives to us a picture of the Heavenly Father getting a bride for his well-beloved Son. I'm sure you can see the picture in this 24th chapter of the book of Genesis. One author entitles this chapter, "Here Comes the Bride." And for a little time this evening, we're going to think about how Isaac got his bride. And it ought to be interesting to us because we as the people of God are part of the bride. We're part of the family of God through redemption. So really, it's a picture, it's a story of how the Lord, through his matchless grace, gathered each one of us into his fold and into his family by his grace. Three very simple things I want to share with you tonight from this story before us. The first thought is a very precious thought indeed. The bride was intended for the son. Now the story begins in the father's house, and there are three persons in view. There is the father, Abraham. There is the son, Isaac. And then there is the nameless servant in verses 1 and 2. And in this we are reminded of another father's house on high, and the fact that God is a triune God, three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father, of course, is the author of salvation, the Son is the accomplisher of salvation, and the Holy Spirit is the applier of salvation. And all three persons work together to bring about this happy occasion before us here in the Word of God. And the Father, the Eternal Father, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit has worked together to bring a people from the four corners of the earth into union with Christ through his atoning sacrifice on Calvary's cross. Now we think about the plan that brought her to the Son. Verse 4 tells us that Abraham said to his servant, "Take a wife unto my son." So this was clearly the father's plan. And before we know anything about Rebekah, the father knew where to find her. I let that sink in. The plan of God from eternity was to provide a bride for his son. Now he knew about the fall of man, and he looked upon a fallen humanity, each one deserving to be cut off forever, to perish eternally in the place of eternal suffering and condemnation. But our God, who is rich in mercy and who is rich in grace, he chose us before the foundation of the world, according to Ephesians 1 verse 4. That's scriptural. That's the teaching of the Word of God. He loved us before we ever loved him. Now, God's plan involved a supernatural birth. What do I mean by that? Well, as you know the story, Sarah, she was barren. She was aged, and her husband was aged as well. And she was barren. She couldn't produce a family. She gave birth at 90. So I'm saying that was a supernatural birth. It was a miracle birth. Isaac was a miracle son, but not a virgin-born son. I've got to be clear about that. Not like Mary's virgin-born son. Christ, too, was the son of promise, who had a supernatural birth, a virgin birth. And I think the most wonderful thing about the church is that the church is the elect of God, according to 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 4. Tremendous thought, tremendous teaching. It runs right throughout the whole of the Word of God. And it should be the greatest comfort in salvation and the greatest assurance of salvation for every believer to know this, to have this assurance that before we were born, before the world was ever created, before there ever was a sin or a sinner, we were in the mind of God and in the heart of God. It was His plan to redeem a people. No one forced Him to do this. He did it because it pleased Him to do so. He did it because it pleased Him to save a people to be with His Son for eternity, to be His companions in glory. Matchless grace, marvelous grace, abounding grace. It ought to thrill our hearts that God thought about you. He thought about me in eternity. What a plan. And then there's the price that brought her to the Son. If you look there at verse 53, you notice what it says. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver, jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. So these gifts to the family may have been the formal dowry or the price for the bride. Clenching the matter, the mention is made there of silver, and silver in the Bible speaks of redemption. Gold is mentioned, and gold speaks of deity. And then you have the garments or the raiment, and that speaks to us of righteousness. When the prodigal son returned from the far country, one of the first things the father did, he clothed him with a robe, and that speaks of what we receive through faith in Christ, a robe of righteousness. So silver speaks of redemption, the gold speaks of deity, and these garments speak to us of what we're clothed in tonight, the righteousness imputed to us, received by faith alone from Jesus Christ. We're justified just as if we never sinned. And the one who is the vine purchased a great redemption for us. He purchased us by the shedding of His blood to give to us, to provide for us a perfect righteousness. And we are redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold. Where do you get the gold and where do you get the silver? Out of the earth. The earth's under the curse, you see. We're not saved by silver and gold or these things, but with the precious atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing but the blood. That's the answer. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's the price of our redemption. Signed, sealed, and delivered by the atoning blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Our sins are gone. They're under the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Then the person that brought her to the Son, if you look there at verse 2, his eldest servant who ruled over all that they had. Here this man was his trusted servant, devoted to Abraham, dedicated to finishing the task. He had one thought in his mind. He wanted to fulfill the purpose of his master. Nothing would hinder him. He wanted to get the job done. Nothing could hinder him. And so he was dedicated to the task. And the servant is a type of the Spirit, has been sent by the Father to find and to bring a bride to His Son. So let's just recap for a moment. Let's get this into our mind tonight. Let's see the scripture of truth that's been taught here, the theology that's been taught here. Somewhere in the dateless past, in the everlasting covenant, an everlasting covenant was made between the persons of the Godhead. The Father elected to save sinners because it pleased Him. The Son agreed to die for sinners, undertaking His part as the mediator of that covenant. And the Spirit agreed to apply that work to the lives of all those who believe. So you remember that time you were sitting in the gospel service. You fell under deep conviction. What was that? That was the work of the Spirit. Taking the work accomplished by Christ and the work planned by the Father and applying it to your heart, to your mind, and to your conscience. And you trembled and you sought the Lord and you trusted in Him. Oh, happy night. When you came to Christ, you came because God had planned from eternity. That was the way you should come. And when you came freely because you wanted to come because the Spirit of God had worked in your heart. and overcame all that resistance and gave you that ability to flee to Jesus Christ and to trust in Him for His eternal salvation. What a wonderful plan of redemption. What a wonderful price of redemption. What a wonderful person of redemption, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God is in the world today, and He's working what to do to complete the bride of Christ, to keep on calling out through the preaching of the gospel, through the means of grace, a people destined by God for eternity, through the belief of the gospel, through repentance and faith. These things are also the gift of God. And then when that great number, it's like the 99 sheep that were safe and sound, one was lost. When the final one was brought back again, it was complete. And the Lord is working still to bring that one lost sheep in. And when that number is complete, hallelujah, just like the 153 fish in the net, then the end will come, the climax will come. The King is coming. Who is He coming for? He's coming for His bride. He's coming for you, and He's coming for me. So the bride was intended for the Son, and then in the second place, the bride was introduced to the Son. If you look there at that 63rd verse, Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. He waited for the servant to bring the bride to him. You see that? The servant was sent on a mission. We don't know exactly how long that mission lasted, but Isaac was waiting there out at the well, the hayrow out in the field. He was waiting for his bride to come. And the Lord is still waiting for His bride to be gathered. And He's paid the ransom price. The Spirit of God is working one by one, two by two. They're coming in, like all those who come into the ark. And one day the door will be closed. He waited for the servant to bring his bride to him. Rebecca, of course, is a type of the church, and that she was brought and into union with Isaac, the beloved son. We dare not miss the beloved son. It's all about Christ. It's all about His grace and His mercy and His great salvation. And it is significant that Isaac met his bride at the eventide, verse 63. When Jesus comes, it will be dark. Spiritual darkness will prevail. Just a new day dawned for Rebecca. So the coming of Christ will usher in a new day for the saints of God, all those redeemed by precious blood. The King is coming. We don't know when, but we know how He's coming. He's coming in the clouds of glory. And He will come for His own redeemed people, bringing with Him those who have gone on before. What a glad reunion it will be in the clouds, and then as He continues on down for those who are His own redeemed people. Now, when we think about Isaac, he longed for his bride. He was out waiting in the field, you see, out at the well. What about Moses? When he was looking for a wife, where did he go to? He went to a well, and he was waiting at the well. Now, Moses, as you know, was a rejected man at that time. He'd been rejected by Egypt. He's on the run. He's sitting at the well. And there, the Lord in His grace brings a lady to him to be his bride. Exodus chapter 3. Jesus was a rejected man. He's sitting at the well. Yeah, he was tired. He was thirsty. He sat in the well. The disciples had gone to buy food and so on. He was sitting there. And who came along but a sinful woman? And what happened that day? She became part of the great bride of Jesus Christ. He talked to her. He wooed her. He was waiting for her. Remember how He waited for you? You didn't deserve salvation, did you? I didn't deserve salvation, not at all. But He waited for us. He waited until He subdued us and He broke us and He took a dealing with us. He brought us to an end of ourselves and we had to cry for mercy. Yeah, that was Him waiting for us, knocking upon the heart's door. Many a time we refused. We said, no, I'll come when I want to come. No, we'll not. We came when He wanted us to come. Not a minute before it, not a minute too late. He brought us by His grace, by the cords of love, irresistible grace, the effectual call of the gospel. That's it. Called freely by His grace, she became part of His bride. He waited in us. Isaac loved his bride. We're told in verse 67, Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and she became his wife and he loved her. Christ has brought us into the banqueting house, and his banner over us is love. For Isaac, it was love at first sight. Was it love at first sight for you? Was it? Was it love at first sight for you? Well, it was for me, believe it or not. But what did Jesus ever see in us that he would want us to be his bride? We were nothing but vile, ignorant sinners, but he loved us and he died for us. He loved us. Isn't that truly amazing that God so loved the world? We could put our names in there. God loved us and gave his darling son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for us. And then Isaac looked after his bride. Her old life was over now. This was a new beginning. This was a new life with her in union with the beloved son. And it was his responsibility to look after her and to care for his bride. He protected and provided for her. Oh, we have two wonderful things here in this story. Oh, you thought it was just a historical story? Oh, it's all about theology. It's all about grace. It's all about Christ. The bride was intended for the son. The bride was introduced to the son. And then finally, the bride was indebted to the son. She loved him. Because she loved him, she submitted herself to him. She was faithful to him. She became fruitful through him. Because he produced fruit. Two sons were born, Jacob and Esau. Jacob had 12 sons who became the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. And we know that Christ came from the children of Israel. So here's a link to Christ, you see. Now notice the order in the chapters before us. I'm coming to an end soon. Think about chapter 22. And it's all about the work of the Son. Calvary is depicted in Genesis chapter 22. You see the Father and the Son travelled together to Mount Moriah. Isaac carried the wood. Yes, he carried the wood, but I think the picture there is of Christ bearing our sins, carrying the load and burden of our sins. He was bound to the altar. Of course, we can apply that to Calvary, whatever we want to look at it. He submitted himself to death. The ram was caught by the horns in the thicket, the thorn crowned Christ. That's a beautiful picture. Abraham believed in the resurrection. He believed even if he was to lose a son, that the Lord would raise up Isaac again. That never happened, of course, but it's there in type. They're in type. Christ is here. The Father and the Son. Chapter 22 is about the work of the Son. Chapter 24 is about the wife for the Son. She became his. Can we not say, I am his and he is mine forever? She was brought to Isaac after the sacrifice of the Son was offered. That is, Isaac had been to Mount Moriah first, chapter 22. Now you see, the bride has been brought to Isaac in chapter 24. Notice the order. It's deeply significant. There's no mistakes in this. The work of the Son precedes the work of the Spirit. Calvary preceded Pentecost. The sacrifice dies first. The Spirit descends. Do you see that? It's here. We're on holy ground, hallowed ground here. And then you come to chapter 25. It's about the wealth of the Son. We're told in verse 5 that Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. Rebekah had received a few gifts already from Isaac, on Isaac's behalf. But now that she was his very own, she possessed everything he possessed. She enjoyed and shared all the wealth of the Father through the Son, because Abraham gave everything unto his son Isaac. So when she came into that union with the beloved son, then everything that the father owned became hers in the well-beloved. Isn't that a tremendous thought? Everything that the father is and has is ours in Christ. We're rich people. We may not have much of this world's goods, but we are rich. In Jesus Christ, she became an heir of all that the Father had through the well-beloved Son. Rebecca's life is now enriched with the bounty which came with her bridegroom. We are enriched tonight with the bounty that comes to us through the bridegroom. Adopted into the family, justified fully by his grace, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Our sins have been forgiven us. We're going to heaven. We've got a home in glory. We're going there one day. I was at a funeral today in Ballygowan. A lady came there in my time. Family asked me to participate. Gone to be with Christ. We had the joy of being able to comfort the family. Absent from the body and present with the Lord. And the end is not yet. And the best is still to be. Every Christian is the recipient of the blessings which come from Christ. Do not miss the thrill. In verse 64, when she saw Isaac. Can you imagine? She sees a figure in the distance. She says to the servant who's been sent to bring her, who is this man walking in the field to meet us? And the servant said, oh, I think of John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God. You can see him pointing down. That's my master. When she saw Isaac, what will it be like when we see Jesus? What will it be like for us? We can't even begin to imagine what it's going to be like. That dear soul who died in the early hours of Saturday morning, my friend from Ballygowan, who can tell what she has heard, what she has seen, what she has experienced since passing over into eternity? Ah, a better day is coming. What will it be like to see the King, Jesus? Ever wonder what his face is like? We don't know what it's going to be like. But I know one thing, we'll know him. And we'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. And then the Bible says she became his wife. Oh, how the redeemed look forward to the day when they see the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, when they enter into the bliss of being home at last. What a wonderful story we have here before us tonight. The bride was intended for the Son. The bride was introduced to the Son. The bride was indebted to the Son. It's all there. Gospel truth. Good theology. Read it tonight before you go to bed. Now sleep well tonight. May God bless you. For Christ's sake. Amen. Let's go down to our time of prayer. We'll ask Peter, would you lead us, please, brother? Thank you. And then, as many as possible, feel free to join in and keep our prayers short and to the point and keep the prayer meeting moving. Brother Peter, thank you.